SAFM Market Update with Jimmy Muyaha on SAFM.
It's Property Tuesday and we are taking a look at the ever-complex world of property rentals. We're going to be taking a look at whether or not now is the best time to be renting or buying. I'm joined on the line by the founder and CEO at Lansdowne Property Group, Jonathan Kohler, to take a look at this and see what we make of it. Jonathan, lovely to have you on the show as always. Thanks so much for taking the time. For many, many years, for decades, as far back as I can remember, there's always been this conversation that if I'm renting a property, I'm effectively paying off somebody else's bond. Is it that simple?
It's definitely not that simple. I think if you speak to most guys in the residential property market, they will advocate for renting rather than buying. But it depends what market you're in. And it also depends what province you're in as well, I guess, you know, because you've got some provinces with good capital appreciation and you've got some provinces with close to zero capital appreciation. And yeah, I mean, if I can give you sort of a price-wise comparison, you know, so I mean, if you, you know, I think that there are a lot of times where it definitely makes sense to buy, and that is where the rental amount and the bond repayment is very similar. I mean, I'll give you an example of that. I mean, if you're purchasing a one-bedroom apartment in the Johannesburg area, you're probably paying around, you know, depending on where it is, you're probably paying about 6,000 Rand a month in rental. And if you had to purchase that property for 600,000 Rand, you'd be paying close to 6,000 Rand repayment. You know, so when the bond repayment and the rental are very, very similar, yes, there are extra costs to owning, for example, paying your levy and paying your rates and taxes. But I think there it really makes sense rather to buy your property rather than rent, you know, because the bond repayment and the rental is very, very close. And there's a little bit of a forced saving for the levies and also the bond repayment, you know. But I think when you start getting to sort of like the middle to sort of higher market, and you're looking at potentially buying a property for 6 million Rand, now you could probably rent that property in Johannesburg now for, I'd say, 30,000 Rand a month. And if you're renting for 30,000 Rand a month, that's half of what the bond repayment is. So people will still argue, well, surely, but I'm still paying off my own bond and, you know, eventually it's going to be an asset, et cetera, et cetera. Now, the question that you have to ask is there capital appreciation in the market? In the last 15 to 20 years of Johannesburg, there's been no capital appreciation. So is it actually an asset if it's not appreciating? And is it worth paying off your bond with all of the interest payments, the levies, the rates and taxes, the maintenance when you bought it for 6 million, but you're selling in 10 years' time for 5.5 million? So I think there's a lot of factors to consider, but hopefully those are two examples where you can sort of see the difference.
Mm. Jonathan, let's look at the asset side of it that you've touched on here. You say that for some property markets or for some spaces, there hasn't really been capital appreciation, and that's something to consider. Would that not also be a just argument for purchasing as well, to say if a property market is set to go up at some point and is set to rebound and recover, and it has been depressed for so long, that might be a good opportunity to pick up some really undervalued assets?
Yes, no, I agree with your sentiment 100%. I mean, in fact, I've owned Lansdowne now for 20 years. You know, we manage sort of thousands and thousands of people's properties. But I've rented for the last 10 years. And recently in Johannesburg, you know, we were sort of having a look with either purchasing in Cape Town or purchasing in Johannesburg. When we went and had a look at the property prices in Cape Town, it was literally for a sort of similar area, similar sized house. It was almost three times more expensive purchasing in Cape Town. And for that reason, we purchased in Joburg, you know, because Joburg hasn't had capital appreciation for many years. And in my opinion, it's at the bottom end of the market, you know. So purchasing now for a house for you to own, I think it sort of offsets a lot of the capital appreciation argument, because if we are at the bottom of the market, which I think we are, you'll get more capital appreciation should the property prices in Joburg start to appreciate again.
Mm. Jonathan, you touched on there being kind of different tiers within the property space, and I want to look at that in a bit more detail, because that could also speak to the decision between renting and buying. If someone is looking to potentially become a homeowner and they look at the market and say, I could purchase a small property at X amount and pay whatever that is on a monthly basis in a bond, or I can then put that into a larger property and rent that for the same amount. How do you start to navigate those decisions? Obviously, some of them are personal around how much space you need and some of the other things that go into the decision-making process. But is it then something that becomes a debate around the size of the property in relation to what you're paying for that?
Yeah, sure. I mean, you also have to look at, am I buying the property to live in myself, or is it an investment property? You know, I think it's very, very attractive, you know, if people are looking to buy a little one-bedroom apartment as an investment property in Johannesburg at the moment, you know, because the rental yields are really, really good. And then you can put a tenant in the property, and the tenant actually pays you rent, which basically covers the bond repayment and hopefully like a little bit of the levies and the rates and taxes. If you are purchasing a one-bedroom apartment and you banking on the capital, you know, but you've purchased it to live and now you're looking for a larger property like a two-bedroom or a three-bedroom, you banking on that property appreciating in value. So you bought it at 600,000 and then you can sell it in a couple of years' time for 800,000, and then you've got a larger deposit, let's say a 200,000 rand deposit, to put down on a larger property that you can move into. But, you know, if property values are staying the same and there's no capital appreciation in the market, and also you're sort of having a look at the, always talk about the sort of rand to US dollar sort of depreciation of sort of 8% on average over the last 30 years, it's a difficult decision to put your money into residential property. And people are all, you know, also, again, you know, the property that you live in is not an asset. You know, I know people always think that it's an asset, you know, but you're purchasing a property, you're paying transfer duty. You're hoping it's going to appreciate in value, but you want to make improvements, you know, so you do a renovation to the house. Then you want that money back when you resell. Then the bank come and evaluate your house and they don't value it at the improvements, you know. So I think if you're buying for a property for you to live in, you can certainly offset and buy when it's a buyer's market, like Johannesburg is at the moment. And then you sort of offset the hope that there's going to be some good capital appreciation there, you know. But people don't like to hear that the home that they've invested all of their money in is actually a liability and not an asset in the end.
Jonathan, before I let you go, I want to take a look at what signs there are for someone to identify a seller's market. Because if we look at markets like the Western Cape where you operate, that market has been running quite hot from a property perspective. And it has very much shifted into the demand outstripping the supply that's available in the market. How do investors look at a market like that and start to identify the shift between a buyer's market and a seller's market so they can take advantage of that?
Yeah, I think in Cape Town at the moment, you need to be very careful where you're buying. I mean, if you're having a look at that Atlantic seaboard area, listen, I mean, it's being driven by semigration, it's being driven by international buyers, you know, who keep purchasing. But I'd be very cautious on purchasing a property at the top end of the market. And Cape Townians might think that it's not the Cape top end of the market yet, but we've seen even in the outlying areas sort of a slight tap off in terms of the demand for rental properties and the purchase prices that we're getting, you know, which shows that the demand is starting to tap off. And in Johannesburg, yeah, we've seen a lot more interest in properties and, you know, we're starting to get people making offers and our sales are starting to increase month on month. It's not significant yet, but there's definitely an improvement, you know. So I'd say I'd be apprehensive on Cape Town. However, you can offset that with just making sure that the rental yield is making sense for you with the offer that you make. You know, so if you're having a look at a one-bedroom apartment in Cape Town, it's on the market for 1.3 million. You can get 12,000 rand a month rental, and you want to get a 10% or 12% net rental yield. You need to offer the amount of the yield that you will get in the rental that you can get in the market. You know, so you just need to speak to, you know, an agency in the area. So this one bedroom's renting for 12, the levies are 1,000 rand, the rates and taxes are 500 rand, my net rental yield per month is X, you times that by 12 divided by the purchase price and you'll get your exact rental yield, you know. So you can still feel comfortable even when it's a seller's market and you're worrying that it's going to tap off, by offsetting it by offering the price that makes your rental yield make sense.
Important considerations when evaluating the decisions to purchase or rent properties. I think we'll leave the conversation on that note. Thank you so much to Jonathan Kohler for those insights and for the time. Jonathan Kohler, Chief Executive Officer at Lansdowne Property Group, joining us for our property segment this week.